This is going to be what I think is our final Erev Shabbos topic before we start to get into now accepting Shabbos and all those topics. So at the outset, so the topic that we're going to be speaking about is Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, which we will explain. What that literally means is Shnayim Mikra, read the Mikra, the Torah, two times, and read the Targum, we'll have to explain what that means also, but read the Targum one time. Echad Targum, read the Mikra, the Pasuk two times, and the Targum you read one time. So we're going to see what this has to do exactly with Erev Shabbos as we go along here. But just to begin, we have a short Gemara on this. I think this is maybe one of the only Gemaras, if not the only Gemara, about Shnayim Mikra Vechad Targum, that the Gemara says in Barachos, on Dav Chet, Amud Bet, Amar Rav Huna, source 1, Amar Rav Huna bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Ami, so Rav Huna, the son of Yehuda, said in the name of Rabbi Ami, La'olam Yashlem Adam Parshiyotav Im HaTzibor, a person should complete their Parshiyotav, your Parshas, which we'll see what that means in Rashi in a second, with the congregation. Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. Two times Mikra, one time Targum. Vafilu Atarot V'divon. So this is from the end of Parshat Mato, when the children of Gad and Reuven asked to live in the Eiver HaYarden. So this was, they were just talking about, it's basically a bunch of cities that doesn't seem to have any sort of explanation. You even need to do that. We'll talk about that a little bit. I don't think we're going to get into that so much. Shekol, now listen to the Gemara. Shekol Hamashlim Parshiyotav Imatzibu. Whoever completes this, Ma'arichin Lo Yama Vishnotav, will get a long life. Yes. Okay, so the Gemara says you should do Shnayim Mikra. So this Gemara, then we'll just do Rashi's before we talk about this for a second. Rashi says Yashlim Parshiyotav Shekol Shabbat Vishabbat. He tells us what we're talking about, that every Shabbos you read, there's a Parsha affiliated with the Shabbos, associated with the Shabbos. So what you should do is you should read the Parsha of every Shabbos two times, and read the Targum once. Vafilu Atarov V'divon She'en Bo Targum. You still have to read it. It sounds like Rashi says you would have to read it three times. So if there's no Targum, if there's no explanation on it, you just say the Pasuk three times instead of two. If there's an explanation on it, do the Pasuk two times with the explanation once, and if there's no explanation, then do the Pasuk three times. So it sounds almost like, all right, this is a Hilchot Shabbat Shir, we're learning Halacha, it sounds like this is Agadata. Agadata is, it's hard to define Agadata. Probably the best definition of Agadata is the non-legal portion of the Gemara, right? The non-halachic portion. This sounds like the Gemara is telling you a nice thing to do. It's telling Marichin lo Yama Vishnosav, it's giving you this great reward. It almost sounds like the Gemara here is really Agadata. It's saying it's a nice thing that you should do, and people do it, and if you do it, you'll get long life. Hmm. Yet, this is a halacha. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tefila, Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Chaf Hei, you're going to go to shul, you're going to hear the Torah, but chayav likro la'atzmo, you have to read it to yourself, b'chol shavua v'shavua, seder shel ota shabbat, shnai mikra v'echar targum. You have to read the weekly parsha to yourself, two times mikra, the pasuk twice and the targum once, u'pasuk shnei bo targum, and if there is no explanation on it, kor ehu shalosh pamim ad shiyashlim peor shiyotav imatzibur. Then read that pasuk three times. That's precisely what we just said, right? It seems that there's a halacha. It doesn't seem to be so well known. We're going to see, we'll come back to that point at the end. But this appears to be halacha. So before we get into the details of this, because we're going to talk a little bit about the details on the halachas of this, just want to talk more about why. Why? What's the foundation of this halacha? Why is it so important for us to be reading the Torah in advance before coming to shul and hearing it on Shabbos? So I think we're going to have two different approaches to this that we're going to have to see how they play out, because they might have a ramification for halacha. They might. But there's really two different explanations or reasons behind this. So we're going to start with the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch in Source 3, in his introduction, the Sefer HaChinuch was written by somebody named the Ra'ah, who lived in, I believe, the 1300s, but we do not know anything else about him. He chose to more or less remain anonymous, so the historical record doesn't... There's somebody, a different Rishon called the Ra'ah, but it's not the same person. We know a few things. In his introduction, he writes that he wrote the Sefer so that the kids have something they can sit and they can learn on Shabbos afternoon and they're not running around in the streets. That's really what he writes. That's the purpose of the Sefer. And it's one of the... It's a mitzvah Sefer. There was a genre in the early, I don't know, that'd be the Middle Ages, that all of a sudden there were a few svarim, right, that we know that there's 613 mitzvot, but we don't know exactly what they are. So the Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvot. A little before the Rambam, there was a different Sefer HaMitzvot. The Sefer HaChinuch, a little bit after the Rambam, wrote his version of the Sefer HaMitzvot. The Ramban, between the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch, the Ramban wrote his Hasagot, his commentary on the Rambam, taking out some of them that the Rambam put in. So if he took out some of them that the Rambam put in, then he had to add a few others so that he would still get to his 613. Well, one of the most famous ones is that the Rambam doesn't put the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael in his 613, and the Ramban there has a whole comment on that. So there was this whole genre, really, of people writing, of these great Rishonim writing what about the 613 mitzvot. So in the introduction to the Sefer HaChinuch here, he says, "V'achat min ha-mitzvot, v'hi ikar v'yisod, shakula nishanot alav." So one of the mitzvot, and this is really an ikar, it's a main fundamental base, it's a yisod, that everything else relies upon, hi mitzvot limud ha-Torah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of learning Torah. Ki b'limud yada hadam ha-mitzvot v'yikayim ha-Torah. Why is this so important? Because when you learn, then you will know the mitzvot and you'll know what to do. And that's why Chazal tell us, and this is, he says, why we read the Torah in a place of gathering, which i.e. means the Beit Knesset, the shul. You read the Torah in shul. To awaken us, to inspire us about Torah and about mitzvot. And you do this every week until you finish the whole Sefer Torah. The next line is also an interesting historical line. So he says, and according to what I've heard, most people finish the whole Torah in 1 year, which we're very, very familiar with, right? Because we always finish the Torah in 1 year, but if I'm not mistaken, in Eretz Yisrael, especially the times of the Gemara, post-Gemara, they had a 3-year cycle. So they finished the Torah every 3 years, and outside of Eretz Yisrael, they finish it every year. And even already in his time, he's saying in the 1300s, I think it's I didn't check it up, but I believe he lived in the 1300s, he says, according to what I hear, already most people are doing it once a year, which sounds like there are still people around that are doing it using a 3-year cycle. So this is just a historical. There are, yeah.
Many reform shows.
They do a 3-year cycle. Yeah. Do you know why?
I didn't know why, but maybe this is the sign.
Why? Okay, I don't know.
I don't know. I know where it's coming from.
I don't know. One time I had a conversation with somebody. They do, yeah. There's obviously there's pluses and minuses of both. A minus is that if it takes you 3 years to finish it, you're doing it less times overall, and it's people have a feeling of accomplishment when you finish it, when you finish something. But on the other hand, if you're spreading it out every 3 years, you'll have more time. You're reading less every week, so you'll be able to think about it more, link it to things more. Especially as we're going to see Shnayim Yikra V'Echad Targum, it certainly would be much, much easier to do it if you had to read 1/3 of the amount every week. It would definitely be easier. Okay, so then he says, "Va'od." So now we're going to come to Shnayim Yikra.
Okay.
Va'od. Yeah.
What line are we on?
Sorry, we're on the fourth out of the fifth line, the first word.
Chayvunu. Oh, I see.
In source 3. Va'od chayvunu chachamenu zecharam livracha likroto kolecha ve'echa mi'yisra beveito b'chol shavu v'shavua. That Chazal made it that everybody should read it in their house to yourself every single week. Kamo shekarno tov b'makom ha-kibbutz. Similar to the way that we would read it at shul. Vizehu Amram Zichronam Livracha, and this is what Chazal say, Li Olam Yashim Adam Parshiot Avimatzibor, the Gemara that we saw, that you should finish the week Parsha with the congregation. Kidei Sheyaskil, so now, what's the point? Kidei Sheyaskil Bidvarim Yoter Bikaroto Tobabai. Because you're going to understand things better when you learn it at home. You're going to understand things better. So, it's not 100% clear to me. It's not 100% clear to me. But what I think the Sefer HaChinuch is saying is that the mitzvah of Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum, why do we do it? We do it because it's part of Talmud Torah. The main thing here is Talmud Torah. And Chazal are saying, we want you to learn the Torah over the years. So if everybody reads it twice at home and reads one explanation on it, and then you come to shul, you hear it another time, you're going to be much more knowledgeable about what's in the Torah than if you just walk into shul. That's going to be the third part about the languages here. Yes, we're going to probably spend a good chunk talking about English and whether it. We'll see. So I think that the Sefer Chinuch is saying that the purpose of this mitzvah is as part of Talmud Torah, that Shnai Mikra is an example of Talmud Torah, and Chazar is saying to do it so that you know the Torah when you hear it in Shul on Shabbos. We're going to have a slightly different approach in the Aruch HaShulchan that might have some ramifications to the halacha. It's a bit of a long paragraph, but I think we'll try to do all of it. We'll try to do some of it. Because he also tells us some very interesting historical aspects of Shnai Mikra. The Aruch HaShulchan... Yeah.
This is different than the Shulchan Aruch, I take it.
Yes. The Aruch HaShulchan... Came afterwards? The Aruch HaShulchan came afterwards, yeah. Came afterwards. He died in the... I think late 1800s.
His name was Aruch HaShulchan, though.
No. So his name was Rav Yechiel Michal Halevi Epstein, I believe. He was a Rav in Lithuania. Mm-hmm. I didn't look into his biography at all. Mm-hmm. His son wrote the Torah Tamima, which is a commentary on the Torah. He was a Rav, and what he did was he wrote halacha, not like the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch tells you, we're going to see in source 5, you can see, the Shulchan Aruch tells you shorter points of the halacha. Well, the Shulchan Aruch is really just a summary of the Beit Yosef's, of the Rav Yosef Karo's previous work. But the Aruch HaShulchan, what he does is, he starts out in the Gemara, and he kind of goes through the whole sugi view. So he says, in his first few things, he'll say, the Gemara says X, then the Rishonim say X, Y, and Z, yes. and then this is what the Shulchan Aruch says, and this is what the Rama says, and this is what the Magen Avraham says, and that this is what I think you should do. So he doesn't tell you the bottom line, he tells you the bottom line at the end, but if you start at the beginning, you go through the whole sugi from top to bottom.
Right.
What he is mostly known for, because he was a shul rav, he oftentimes defends the practices of the people. That seems his one of his styles is, if the people are doing something very, especially if they're doing something very different from what, when he develops his whole halacha, what it should be, he'll try to explain it or give a reason that they're relying on for them not to follow what he thinks halacha should be.
Oh.
He's a defender of the people. So what he says is, velo noda lanu tamo shel davar. So he says, he's talking about the mitzvah of Shnai Mikra. And he says, we don't know why. This comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what he says. Where Moshe Rabbeinu said you should read the Torah every week. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who said, right? It's not a gadata. This is Moshe Rabbeinu told us that we should be doing this. So the Levush says something that I was trying to read into the Sefer HaChinuch. Levush says very clearly, the point is that you should be a Baki. A Baki is an expert. The point is that Chazal said that you should split the Torah up, so you become an expert in the Torah. The Einzem must be Kamuvan. So he says, but this is not enough Kamuvan, as is understood. He doesn't elaborate. He doesn't like this so much. He's going to tell a different reason. V'nira dechiyu v'torah, we're in the second line in source 4. V'nira in the middle. V'nira dechiyu v'torah. Hashmiya v'halimut. So he says, well, here's what it is. The Torah, there's two separate things. There's learning Torah and listening to Torah. Kamo she'omrim b'birchat ahava rabba, like we say in the bracha and ahava rabba in the morning, lishmoa, lilmod. There's two things, to lishmoa, to hear, and lilmod, to learn. V'hine hashmiya hi b'shabes. And learn, and listening comes in, misefer Torah, k'sheir, k'suva, k'dasu, chalacha. Listening comes on Shabbos when you go to Shul, and you hear it from the Sefer Torah that's written properly, and k'dasu, k'halacha. V'lachain, yilmod mikodem b'chumish. So you should learn it, you should learn it on your own earlier at home with a chumish, during the week. V'yale b'kodesh, and you go up in Kedusha, you go up, lishmo misefer Torah, to hear it in the Sefer Torah on Shabbos. So then he goes why he thinks it should be three times as opposed to any other number. I think we'll stop. We're not going to continue into that point. But what does he say the point is? The point here is, I don't know if it's necessarily a mitzvah. The mitzvah is Talmud Torah. I think the point is that you should prepare yourself to hear it in the shul. I guess it's like part of Talmud Torah. But the way I look at this is that it's more about preparing to hear the Torah reading on Shabbos. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, the mitzvah is about preparing to hear the reading, the Kriyat HaTorah on Shabbos. And I think according to the Sefer HaChinuch, the point is so that you, it's part of your Talmud Torah. Right? So I think that those are two different rationales for the mitzvah. One is that Chazal are dividing up the Torah into whatever, however many weeks so that you learn it. right? So that everybody makes sure that they learn that they complete it over 1 year or three. Or is it that you're learning it during the week so that you can prepare yourself to hear it for Shabbos, which is also, I think, part of a Talmud Torah, but to me it's not necessarily the same thing. It's more about preparing for Shabbos than for Talmud Torah. So why does it matter? Why does it matter which of these rationales is correct? Is it about Talmud Torah or is it about preparing for Shabbos? So if we look in source 5 now, we're going to look in Seif Dalet, right? We'll do Seif Aleph and then Dalet, sorry. Aleph and then Dalet. This is in the Shulchan Aruch, in Resh Pei Hei, which is part of Hilchot Shabbat, about Shnai Mikra. And so in Seif Aleph, he tells us what the halacha is, like we already saw in the Rambam. Aval pish adam shomea kol Torah kula kol Shabbos b'tzibur. Even though you're going to hear the Torah in the congregation, chayav likrod la'atzma b'chol shavua parshat oto ha-shavua Shnai Mikra v'echa targum. You have to read it. Afilu atarot v'divon, even a pasuk that doesn't have a targum, an explanation on it, you still have to read that a third time in Hebrew. Now in Seif Dalet. Atarot v'divon are names of places. So names of places wouldn't have an explanation.
Or God? Is that what you
were That's part, yeah. That's that. Those are some of the places that they saw that they wanted to live in the very, very end of Parshat Matot. At the end of Parshat Matot. Okay. Seif Dalet in source 5 from Shulchan Aruch. Mitzvah min hamuvchar sheyashlem ota kodem sheyolcha b'Shabbos. The question... sorry, I'm cold. The question is, when do you need to finish this mitzvah by? So the Shulchan Aruch says the time to finish it is before you eat on Shabbos morning. But if you didn't finish it by then, then you have till Shabbos afternoon mincha time, because that's when you start reading the next week's parsha. V'yesh omrim ad reviv Shabbos. Now we have a third opinion. So first opinion is really to finish it by Shabbos morning. Second opinion is to finish it by Shabbos afternoon. The third opinion is to finish it by Wednesday, because Wednesday is still connected a little bit to Shabbos, because you can say Havdalah. If you didn't say Havdalah, you can say Havdalah till Wednesday.
Till Tuesday?
Yeah. You thought it was Tuesday.
Maybe I'm wrong. Okay, I'll have to double check that. I thought I saw that quoted in connection with this.
No, I think Wednesday begins the next part of Shabbos. That's why we're allowed to sing Bracha, we're allowed to sing various Shabbos Negunim. You could think Shabbos on Wednesday.
Okay, so then I stand corrected. Okay, I stand corrected then, so then I'm not sure. I saw quoted that this is still somehow connected to Shabbos, this Revi'i. We'll have to look into that. I'll have to look into that a little bit more. V'yesh omrim ad shmini atzeres. Now, there's a final opinion. You can finish it, really, until... And then the parentheses, we have hainu for shmini atzeres in Israel, which is Simchas Torah, sha'az mashlim ha-sibor, because that's when the sibor finishes reading it. So the question here is, when do you have to finish it by? So I think if we're saying that the whole purpose of the mitzvah is the Talmud Torah, that you have to finish the Torah over 1 year, like we saw from the Sefer Chinuch, then we could say that, when do you have to really finish it by? Finish it by the end of the year, because the whole purpose of the mitzvah is that you learn the Torah over the course of the year. So Chazal divided it up. But if the purpose of this mitzvah is to prepare yourself to hear it for that weekly Shabbos, then you could argue very much, very strong argument that you need to finish it at the best before you walk into shul. So even though the Shulchan Aruch here says the mitzvah min hamuvchar is to finish before you eat, which sounds like it's a little bit later on, the Mishnah Berurah on this says, ulechatchila mehanach, I'm sorry, I didn't put this in the sheets, im lo karashnai mikra vecha targum be'erev Shabbos, if you didn't read it on Erev Shabbos, which he quotes is the best time to do it, which is our connection now to Erev Shabbos, or why are we doing Shnai Mikra on Shabbos, if we're still within our Erev Shabbos stuff, because he quotes that really doing it on Friday, even maybe after Chatzot, Friday afternoon, might even be the best time to do it, but doing it Friday, he quotes, is the best time. What if you didn't do it on Friday, Lahashkim v'Shabbos baboker, wake up in the morning, v'likro Shnai Mikra v'echa targum kodem halichato levet ha-knesset, get up early, do it in Shabbos, so that when you get into shul, you'll have finished it, because the whole point is that you build yourself up to getting into shul, to hearing it from shul. So I think that's one of the big, what we call nafka mina, a practical difference between the two reasons. The reason as it's Talmud Torah, and the reason that you're supposed to prepare yourself to hear it is, well, when do you have to finish it by? If the purpose is to prepare yourself to hear the Torah in shul, then best is to finish it before you walk through the doors. And if the whole purpose is that the Chazal want us to learn Talmud Torah, and this is them telling us a specific form of Talmud Torah, then okay, so if you finished it on Wednesday, if you finished it the next Friday morning, and then you right before you want to start the next one, that's fine too. And if you finished it 6 months later, that seems to be that would be fine too, because the whole point was that you finished Torah over the course of the year, or the 3 years, depending on where you are.
Does anybody argue that, like, that if you read along with the Torah reading.
So we're not going to talk about that, but yes, that's the other half of this halal, of this whole siman is about reading along. I think that I've seen that maybe that's not ideal, but that it count. That would count for one of the readings.
Go against the lishmela part about hearing.
Right. So they talk about that. They talk about that a little bit, and they say, "Well, you're hearing it too while you're reading it." I think that's the response that I've seen. That's the response. But yeah, there is a discussion about that. There's a discussion of what if you just listen to it, but you have shomea ka'oni. You focus as if you're saying it. Does that count also? So Mishmaru says bidyeved that counts too. The best thing is that you finish this entirely before you come to shul. Okay. That's the best thing. So that's the practical difference. One is when you finish it. Practical difference number two is going to be. Kind of the converse, I guess. Anybody want to take a stab? What's the other practical difference? It may not be as practical. I don't know, but the difference might be when you begin it. Mm. When you begin it, if we say that each week is leads up to the following Shabbos, then perhaps if it's about preparing for Shabbos, then that week goes to that Shabbos. So you would have to start on Sunday, let's say, or start really Shabbos afternoon mincha when you start reading the next week's parsha. So if we look back one halacha in Se'if Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Miyom Rishon ve'elach chashuv imat zibor." When do you begin this? You begin this on Yom Rishon. Yes. The Mishnah Berurah really says you can begin it Shabbos afternoon at mincha time.
Wow.
So if it's about going into the next week, then you should begin it that week. So I saw an article on this topic by one of my high school teachers, Rabbi Howard Chaim Jachter. From Teaneck, New Jersey, who's a rav in the high school that I went to. He has a shul in Teaneck also, and he's on the base in Elizabeth. So he suggested, he didn't put this the same way we put this. His distinction was whether it's a weekly mitzvah or a yearly mitzvah. The distinction that we're trying to make here is whether it's a Talmud Torah or a preparing for Shabbos mitzvah. There are enough similarities, but he argued that if the whole point is that you should have learned the Torah over the whole year, then... It doesn't. You don't have to necessarily begin on Sunday. You could be 3 weeks ahead, and that would be fine because at the end of the day, you'll have learned the Torah over the whole year. His specific example, I don't remember if it was him or if I saw somewhere else now, was, let's say a person is off from work for a week or taking vacation, and you have a lot more time, so maybe you think, you know what, I'm going to get a head start here, and I'll learn advance a few weeks, so then that'll be a little easier. So according to that, then it would be fine. According to the other opinion... I don't know if it would tell you don't do it. You know, it's going to depend on probably lots of personal factors. Yeah, okay, questions? Any questions or comments here? So we have we talked about what the purpose of the mitzvah is. Is it a mitzvah for Talmud Torah, or is it a mitzvah for preparing for Shabbos? And the question was, when can you start, and when can you begin? So now we're...
So what would be the answer in regards to whether it's for Hanukkah or Shabbat?
Whether it's for Talmud Torah or for Shabbat? Yeah. So the answer is, the Shulchan Aruch quotes both ways. We're going to see that he quotes... No, he quotes, he says, some people say you should finish it by Shabbos, and some people say, and Yesh Omrim, that you can finish it by Shmini Atzeres. Okay.
No. Well, that's understood. So it's more for education. If you go for the longer...
If you go for the longer, it's about Talmud Torah. Right, yeah, precisely.
Right.
So what we're going to see, I'll come back to your answer after we do the next Mishnah Berurah, because the Mishnah Berurah in Source 7... He's going to tell us how do we do it, and he's going to give an answer. So how do you do shnai mikrovecha targum? Yesh deo baze bein achronim. So there's lots of different opinions. Yesh omrim sheikra kol pasuk bet pa'amim. You read each pasuk two times. V'targum alav.
Pasuk
by pasuk. Read pasuk aleph once, read pasuk aleph twice, then read the targum, which right now I don't think, because we skipped a few of the, some of the stuff earlier, but targum really seems to be a reference to targum unkulus, which if you open your chumash, targum unkulus on the side. V'yesh omrim shikra kol parsha bet pa'amim. Another opinion means you read parsha, not the parsha from the beginning to the end, but there's breaks in the Torah. So, pamim va'acharka hatargum hainu. So he explains what this means in the second line. Hainu sheyikra kol parsha petucha ostuma. Sometimes they're parshiot or petucha. Sometimes they're stuma, depending on if it's going to skip a line afterwards at the end. If you'll see gaps when you get aliyah. Sometimes you'll see a gap, a break in the Torah, a space. So you should read it by according to those gaps. So they think you should do pasuk by pasuk. So now listen to the Vilna Gaon. This is good because we spoke about the Vilna Gaon before. V'sefer Masa Rav. So Masa Rav is a sefer about the Vilna Gaon's practice. This is Shehagra, the Gra is the Vilna Gaon. Nahag lomar hatagrim achar kol parsha pitucha ostuma. He used to not do pasuk by pasuk. He used to do bigger chunks. O achar makom shenir yoter hefsek inyan. Or he would stop at a point where he thought it made sense to stop. Right? Probably maybe like an aliyah for our sake. V'da'avid kemar avid u'da'avid kemar avid. However you want to do it, you want to do it. So I think at the end of the day, Steve, to answer your question before about what the halacha is, it seems to be that a lot of the halachas here are everything is good, and really whichever one you want to do it by is okay, right? If you want to do it pasuk by pasuk, that's fine. If you want to do it parsha by parsha, that's fine. And then in the next, in Sif Katan Tet, which is a little bit later in the Mishnah Berurah that I put over here, he tells us what the Vilna Gaon did, and this is very practical. Very, very practical here. V'chein b'sefer maser rav katav v'hanhagas hagra. So again, in the same sefer, shaya noeg tekev achar hatfila b'chol yom likra miksas mehasedra. That every single day, immediately following davening, the Vilna Gaon would open a chumash, and he would read a little bit of the sedra of the weekly Torah. Shnayim yinkra v'chatargum v'musayim be'erev Shabbos. So he finished on Erev Shabbos, right? He wanted to finish davka before Shabbos, which was what we were talking about earlier. But what would he do? Every single morning, he would take a bed, divide the Torah into seven aliyahs, or seven parts.
So it happens it's 7 days in the week.
Yeah. Well, that's why you divide it into seven. If there were 8 days, I would say divided, he would have divided it into eight. Right. So you divide it into parts, and every single day do a bit so that you'll have finished it before Shabbos. So we spoke a little bit about the reasons, we spoke a little bit about some of the halachas here. So the question now is going to be, what does Targum really mean, and what language can we use? Can we use English? That's going to be the question that we're going to be focusing on. So we're going to go to the Tosfos in Source 8. This is a Tosfos on the Gemara that we started off with about Shnai Mikra. Tosfos quotes the suggestion, Yesh Mefarshim. I'm just in the interest of time.
Number 8.
We're going to go to source 9. Because he more or less says the same thing. The Rush. Tosfos and Rush, they both say similar things.
What's the word Loazot?
Loazot is foreign language.
What is it?
Amzara. Different. The foreign language, not Hebrew.
Oh, so, Laz.
So he's gonna, so the Rush is going to be talking in source 9 about this, about he's going to quote the same thing that Tosfos quotes, that he says, people are saying you could use foreign languages, you can use other languages for your targum, for your explanation. The Lo Nehir, the Rush says, I don't agree with this, it's not clear to me. Lefisha targum mifarish kamedvarim she'in la'avi mitocha mikra. Because the targum tells us certain things that you would have never known from the pasuk if not without the targum. So really, what the targum is, it's the best explanation for the Torah. Kid Amar Rav Yosef il mali targuma da hakra. Like the Gemara says, the Rav Yosef says that we didn't know, he wouldn't have known certain words from the Lashon HaKodesh if not for the fact that the targum Unkelus gave them translation. So now we know what they mean. Vinira. So but he adds something else. So point one is he rejects using a foreign language other than onkelos. But point two is v'nirish ha'korei b'perushei ha'Torah. If you read different explanations of the Torah, yotzei bo yidei targum, you fulfill your obligation, kevan shemufosh bo kol mila v'mila. So on the one hand, he said you cannot use a translation into whatever languages they would have had, French or German or whatever, but you could use a different explanation of the Torah. You could use Rashi. You could use anybody who has a commentary on the Torah. You're allowed to use. That's what he adds. So it's not only Targum Onkelos. It's you could use Rashi too.
What about Rashi? You could use Onkelos.
We're instead of. So that's going to be that. Yeah, he's saying yes. You could use Rashi instead of Onkelos. We're going to see what the Shulchan Aruch says. Ah, okay. Well, what's Rashi?
It's commentary.
Okay. We're going to see also what each one has a ma'ala that the other one doesn't have. Yeah, you're right, the Rashi's explanation.
You need them both because once in a while you run across a word that is just incomprehensible in the Torah, even when you look at the Targum. Okay. And sometimes you can figure it out.
Okay, so you're saying you need both, and that's just where we're going. That's exactly where we're going.
Oh. I'm glad I didn't go off the road.
Going the right direction.
Has anyone translated the Targum, by the way, Onkelos, into English, say?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if they translated it word for word or they did more thematic, but yeah, there are two professors, I believe they're professors who are currently working on it, or they finished it. I don't think they did it. It's not word for word. It's like the bigger meaning. Ideas. The bigger ideas that Unculus translates. That they have. My father has that. That's how I know. Okay, so in the tour.
Oh, that is a good one.
We're gonna actually skip. I apologize for this. We're only gonna go. And there's two paragraphs here. In the second to last line of the first paragraph, the first one in line is Likroto. Mm-hmm.
Source 10,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Ve'im Lamad, it's 7 or 8 words in. The Torah says Ve'im Lamad Haparsha Bepirush Rashi. If you learn with Rashi, Chashiv Kimo Targum. It's like Targum She'en Kavanat Targum Ela She'yavin Ha'inyan. Because the point of the Targum is that you understand what's going on, and he's saying, the Torah seems to be saying that from Rashi also you will understand what's going on, though you're right, Gary, that it's not a translation, but you'll understand what's going on. Aval imkori bishar laz lo. He tells us, so the Torah is the halacha sefer that predated the Shulchan Aruch. He says, if you do it other languages, it, no good, it doesn't work.
So for example, you cannot read Rashi in English.
Right, that would be... So, reading Rashi in English, I don't know. The question is that Targum in English, or is that you're reading your Rashi in English, and then your Rashi counts as your Targum, so it's okay. That's that I don't know. It sounds like the latter one, actually, no. That I would say. If you read the Rashi in English, but you understood every single thing that the Rashi was saying, then that probably, that could very well count. That could very well count, because you're doing the Torah into Rashi into English, instead of Torah into English, right? You're adding the extra step of Rashi, so... Like, it seems like that would work. I know there's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Archer has a fantastic series of the Rashi's in English that is really phenomenal. I'm sure they have it somewhere in here. Actually, maybe not.
You're not in here.
Maybe out there they would have it. Yeah.
No. Since the Rashi is easier than a lot of them, and it's the first place that people go, it's important to read.
It's important. Yeah, it's important.
It's important
to know what Rashi
to read
says,
it in Hebrew, and then.
In English,
so that you get the
cross. But it depends on what the purpose of Targum being the third way of reading it in the first place is.
Okay, elaborate.
The reason of Targum, which implies that you'll understand everything that you've already read,
it's not going to help you understand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what did it actually accomplish? You didn't understand.
So there are some, right. So there
is to add something to just...
We're going to see perspectives like that in a few minutes. In a few minutes. There are people who say that because Targum, like we saw, was given, we saw the Gemara that Targum is very important. We didn't see a Gemara that Targum, the Gemara says Targum is a very ancient. Targum is ancient. So there might be, even if you didn't understand it, you might have accomplished something, perhaps. Perhaps, but yeah, if you didn't understand it, if you don't understand Targum, it's very hard to suggest to read the Targum, especially if you do understand Rashi, or you would understand more of Rashi than Targum, right? Then you probably should do what you understand better. Yeah, yeah. The question here now is what about English? So we saw the Torah. The Torah says you can't use other languages, and the Beit Yosef in Siman Reish Pei Hei, he's going to give us this whole background as a summary. He says v'im lamad parsha b'firish Rashi. Chashiv kamo targum, it counts as the targum. Avalim kori bishar las lo, but not in other languages. Hatoso, so he tells us the tosos on the rush that we saw. Kasvu sheyesh mefarshim tu hadin lilo azot delaz. Mehani kamo targum, that if you use other languages, it counts as your targum. Velo nehirach ari targum mefarish kamadvarim. Shein lavi mitocha mikra, because. Like we said before, the Targum says things that otherwise you wouldn't understand. Targum is much better than another language, because another language isn't going to know there's certain words the other language isn't going to know how to translate.
But isn't it true that Rashi wrote a lot of things in French? In fact, that's why sometimes in his comments he says, in old French, in middle French, this is the word for it.
Yeah.
You've seen that.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Rashi
says
that a lot.
The thing was, it's possible. Because,
well, I think Rashi does that in if I'm not mistaken. Rashi does in the Torah also. Yeah, so he's telling you, right, because Rashi's purpose wasn't necessarily a translation like Gary said before. So there's certain times where he's telling you, okay, well, this is going to help you understand the topic. Rashi's a little bit different than Unklus.
That's what he puts it in. Yeah.
Yeah. Then he quotes the Rash, V'chasav, HaRash, Od, V'nirash, HaKori, B'feresh Torah, Yotzei Bo Yidei. Targum, right, like we just saw, if you read people that explain the Torah, Kevan Shemefarsh Bo Kol Mila V'mila, V'chein kasav smag v'zel l'shono v'ani danti livnei rabosai sha'perush moel yoter me'ar targum hoduli. The smag said it's even better to read a perush on the Torah than to read the targum. And then he quotes some people that disagree with that. So let's just flip the page over to back to the Shulchan Aruch to see if Bet, and then we'll have done all the four parts of the Shulchan Aruch that. Not flip it over for source five. See if Bet
number five.
The Shulchan Aruch says im lamad a parsha befirish Rashi chashiv kamo targum. That it counts, right? If you want to use Rashi instead of Targum, give them to Hay, go for it. But v'yirei shamayim, I'm not sure if I know anybody who. This is hard to do because it really requires a lot more time. Yirei shamayim, those who have a fear of heaven, yikra Targum v'gam pirish Rashi, do both. If you really wanna do this, you should do both. So, the question is going to be now. Okay, well, what about people? If it's hard to understand the Targum, if it's hard to understand Rashi, what should you do? So if we look in the Mishnah Berurah, in Source 12, the Mishnah Berurah... Well, I think we'll go through at least the first two, and then we'll do the last source and wrap up. So Mishnah Berurah says, "Beferish Rashi, shu mefarish et hamikra kamo shemefarish hatargum v'yotermina." So Rashi is adding, right? Rashi does more than Onkelos does because Onkelos translate, and Rashi gives you a lot of background, gives you a lot of ma'amarei chazal, a lot of midrashim, a lot of explanations that are going to fill in for you what exactly is going on. Avalim karbel sharla shu mefarish rakatamilo. So what's the difference? What's the difference between Rashi and another language? Is another language it only explains the words lo yatzei de chavaso b'makom targum b'lefisha targum mefarish kamen dvarim she'in lavi mitoch hamikra. So Rashi is better than English, because if you were to just do a translation, Rashi is giving you a lot more background and detail than a literal translation. Onkelos is better than a translation into another language, because Onkelos was able to translate lots of words that we wouldn't have known if not for Onkelos. But if you want to just try to read somebody who writes their own translation and is going to take this word that we're not sure what it means and try to figure out his own what it means, look up the Shorish, look up other similar words, etc., 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 that's not going to be right, and that's not necessarily going to be right, and that's why you can't use that for your Shnai Mikra. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. But then he says in the next one, V'al-Korchach, Choshuv kamo targum, Rashi counts as a targum, v'alkein yotzei b'masha kori shnei pami mikra v'echa perish Rashi, so you fulfill your obligation with what you read two times, the Torah and one time Rashi, v'otam psukim shein aleim perish Rashi, yikratam gimu pami, and Rashi doesn't comment in every pasuk, so what should you do? You should read that pasuk a third time. Now, misha eino bar hachi sheyavine perish Rashi. You know, what if somebody doesn't understand Rashi? Right? Some Rashis are easy, and some Rashis are hard. What if you don't understand? Roy likros beferish haTorah sheyesh b'lashon Ashkenaz bizmanenu. So he says, what should you do? You should read one in lashon Ashkenaz in German, probably Yiddish. Read something in Yiddish. Kegon sefer tsena or ena. It gives you as an example of a sefer that I think used to use a long time ago. The Chayotzei Bo HaMevarim Yasa Parsha, and other things that are going to help you understand the Parsha.
What's Sefer Tse'ina?
Se'ena or Ena was...
Right. That was the book that the women...
The book, they learned at home, yeah. The Chayotzei Bo HaMevarim Yasa Parsha, Al Pi Perish Rashi, V'Shar Chachamenu Zal, HaBenuim Ha'Yisod HaTalmud. Or you can use any other Sefer that what they're doing with their translation is they're not just looking at the Torah and saying, I'm going to translate this myself. What they're doing is they're translating it with the knowledge of Onkelos and with the knowledge of Rashi. That, he says, the Mishnah Berurah says, would certainly be okay. So I find it actually quite ironic that there's a lot of people out there that really don't like the Ars Scroll translation, and their complaint against it is that it's not literal, because Ars Scroll translation is not really very literal. So the irony is that because it's not a literal translation, you could use it for your Targum, because it's basing itself on Rashi and on Onkelos. So according to this Mishnah Berurah, if a person, still the best thing would be to use Onkelos or Rashi.
But it's not literal, so it's not...
The Ars was not literal, right? So
it's philosophizing.
It's not philosophizing, it's using the explanations of, like, let's say there's one of those words that we don't know what it means, Ars Scroll is going to look in Onkelos and then translate you take Onkelos and put it into its English. Or there's a word that could mean a few things, and Rashi says he thinks it really means one of those options. Art Scroll is going to then go and put that one into its English. So because it's not literal, that makes it better to use for Shnai Mikra, because you're not... The problem with using English is that it's literal and it doesn't have everything in it, but if you're basing it on Rashi or Onkelos, then it is going to have what you need in it.
Right.
Okay, I think...
What
so it seems
about the Or Chaim, you could use that. That's a
Yeah, he says you can use Mefarshim. Yeah, the
you can use Mefarshim. You can't jump back to the Torah. You've got to go across the bridge, the Rashi and Targum bridge, but doesn't have the connection with the Torah. If you don't read the Torah very well, then the explanation's kind of, you know...
Okay, we're going to come. We'll come to a practical suggestion in 2 minutes. We'll come to a practical suggestion in a minute. But what he says is... What he really says is that if the English has incorporates the Rashi and the Onkelos, etc., then it would be okay. It would be okay. So if somebody wants the Tudor Shnai Mikra and to read however you decide you want to do it, read the Aliyah by Aliyah, Pasuk by Pasuk, and then every time jump over back to the English, back to the Hebrew, I think that that's fine. That's part of the mitzvah of Shnai Mikra. So now we're going to do our final source here, which starts off with a very, very brief summary of Shnai Mikra and its status. In source 13, Chiyuv Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum Hu Chiyuv Mi Derabanan Kechol Chiyuvim Derabanan. So it's a Chiyuv Derabanan. It's a real mitzvah Derabanan to do Shnai Mikra. Then I cut out some stuff. Uva Avonotenu Harabim. The sins of the many. There's people that they put it down, that they don't take it so seriously, which really I think is unfortunately many people in yeshiva, many people that are sitting and learning, many people are not doing Shnai Mikra. It's a mitzvah derabanan to do. I think that's something to take into account. It's very difficult to do. They take it lightly. It's very difficult to do because you need to, unless you want to designate a few hours on your Friday, which is hard to do, you'd have to try to plan it out a little bit during the week, jumping the gun a little bit. But if anybody is interested, the OU website has audio of Shnai Mikra. I haven't listened to that. I listened just for a minute or two to see what it was because I've seen it. And what they do is, I don't think they're not reading it and just reading Yerashi. Is that they're reading? They have the rabbis that are reading the psukim and then giving the explanations of it. So I think that's fine too. That's good. And those are 20 minutes a day. So if you do 20 minutes a day and on Friday you double it, then you'll have done your Shnai Mikra also that way. So I think that's also a phenomenal resource, especially if anybody...
It's in English.
Yeah, it's in English. If you're on the bus, if you're traveling, if you're at home doing dishes, whatever, to take 20 minutes, it's something that's doable.
You're saying you'll say it by listening to other people saying it?
So I think the best is yourself, if possible, but yeah, you'd be Yotze. It's like we said a little while ago, like a Shomea Ka'ona type thing, that if you're listening and focusing, and I'll tell you why. I think because either if the purpose of this Talmud Torah, I'm the one who's doing most of the talking here, but everybody's listening, so you're also getting the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, or if it's preparing for shul for Shabbos, if you listen to them do it, you'll have been prepared for shul on Shabbos. So yeah, I think so.
Oh, what's... This looks like Sydney, but it's not. Le-ha-ir.
And
spitting le-ha-ir them.
To awaken them.
A roar. Awaken.
Okay, so then he says. Now he says, and listen to what he says. And he says, and this is halacha lamaisa v'hiskamti. So lebal tshuva echa. So he says there was a bal tshuva who was having difficulty doing Shnai Mikra. Vecha Targum in Rashi and Onkelos. Kanshe mitzvaso likro Shnai Mikra v'ikra ha-targum angli. So he says, I agreed that he should read, do it in English. Kevan she'enenu mevin klal Rashi v'targum. This person didn't understand it at all. She'af l'poskim da'targum yesh l'mala sh'nitam b'sena. Even according to the poskim who say the Targum is better because we got it a long time ago. This is when you understand Onkelos. That's when you should use Onkelos. Even if you don't understand all of it, but you can pick up from Onkelos, etc. If you don't understand a word of what you're saying, mutav sheik or perish Rashi, read Rashi or targum lashon laz, or read it in whatever other language you understand. Rocky's hearty, so he says. But I told the person. Likra mi targum musmach mi talmud chacham. Read it from somebody who's musmach, a smicha, a talmud chacham. Read the translation from somebody who knows what they're doing. Shapir shu heitev inyan targum, because they're gonna have done. They're gonna make sure that they did it properly. Velo rak lepirish hamilo bilaz, and not just, you don't want to. The whole point is not to just read a very, very literal translation of the words. of the words El Al Pi Perush HaTargum Onkelos VeKadmon in the Mikra. Right, but read from somebody who translated according to, like, this is what we said our school did, according to the Perush of the Targum and of the other Mefarshim on the Torah. Ubevadei Shelo Yikra Targum Anichtav Aidei Maskilim. So he says, don't do it from a maskil, a scholar, somebody that
maybe keeping it more modernly.
Yeah, somebody. Uvazed davku yosei chavason. This is how you fulfill your obligation. So basically, what we're saying here, we talked about the mitzvah of shnai mikra vechatargum. We talked about why that is a mitzvah. We talked about some of the halachos. Some of the halachos of the mitzvah, right? You could do it pasuk by pasuk, parsha by parsha. You could do it basically any division that you want to do it. Finish it by best is to finish it by Shabbos by before Kriyas HaTorah. At the end of the day, if you finish it over the whole year, it's a tremendous accomplishment. We spoke about English, and it seems at the end of the day that you could use English just as long as the person who translates it is a Talmud Chacham, somebody who relied on previous explanations and previous mefarshim to do it. So that was basically the summary. I'll just conclude with a final thought that I once heard from Rav Neuberger, Rosh Yeshiva, Rav in Bergenfield and Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva University. And he obviously acknowledged this is a very, very difficult mitzvah for people to fulfill because it, like we said, it takes a lot of time. So I remember he suggested once that perhaps if somebody is having, if it's hard, it's too much time, then this year, year one, at least make sure you did up to the Shlishi Revi'i, and then the year afterwards, so you'll know you'll do the last, and if you have more time, you'll do more. But guarantee that if you finish up to Revi'i every Shabbos, every parsha this year, and next year you start with Chamishi, and then if you finish to the end, you have more time, you go back to the beginning, then at least over every 2 years, you'll have done the whole thing, which is certainly better than saying, okay, this takes up so much time, so I'm not going to do any of it, which I think seems to be the attitude. So I thought that was a fantastic idea. I myself had a very good streak going, and then recently, the last few years, it's been very difficult, but I'm trying really hard to get myself back on. Because also your shop, it's fantastic when you go into shul, when you listen to the Kriyas HaTorah, and you really know what's going on, you know what Rashi quotes, you know the backgrounds, you know what the words mean, and it's a very different experience than going in without having done that. So
I think, say, doing it twice here and once at the Targum, I mean, asking too much.